And we are still at Harvest 2017 and looking for a great harvest for this year. I'm excited that many of us are praying and really working hard to see what God can do for us. And at the end of the year, when we have a celebration Sunday in November, then we can count the blessing that God has given to us. So, but we, in order to have a harvest, what do we got to do? What we need to work. Harvest means work, right? So Luke 19, if you're looking at your Bible, can we turn to Luke chapter 19 today? It's a great way to use your phone on this one right now, right? And also those who have the Bible, Luke 19. If you don't want to bother, I can lead you to that. I'm going to share those scripture to you. So salvation is a verb. And you may come back and say to me, Pastor, that's not true. I'm an English teacher. Salvation is a noun, right? But I'm going to say salvation is a verb. Why? Because salvation takes deliverance, redemption, it saves. That is a verb. Even though it may sound like a noun, salvation is a verb because salvation needs work. Harvest is work. The Lord tells us that you go and work in the week and come to me for the Sabbath rest. Right. Now, if all of us are resting the whole week and come and rest on the Sabbath rest, what have you got to say to the Lord of the harvest? God himself created us and gave us a specific purpose and instruction that I want you to work 6 days, and on the seventh day you're going to have a Sabbath rest. But you say, but God, I'm going to rest every day, including the Sabbath rest. Then who will do the harvest? We come here every Sunday, and every Sunday we sit on our nice, comfortable chairs and on our pews and hope that we're going to have plentiful harvest. How will that happen? How is that going to happen? If we come and sit here every Sunday, every worship service, and expect that our storehouses will be full, but we are also resting the other 6 days. How will we have a great harvest? Worship service is a culmination. You following me? Worship service is a culmination of the experiences that you encounter with God's people during the week. So when you come on Sunday, you have come to share your praise and sacrifices, encounter with God's people, encounter with God during the week, and you come and worship here. That is the purpose of a worship. How did you encounter God Monday to Saturday? What did you do for God? And you come on the rest, Sabbath rest day, to offer to God your joys, your struggles, your challenges, your sorrows, your mistakes, your failures during the week. So worship on Sunday is a culmination of all those experiences during the week. It is not to come and sit here again every Sunday morning and then don't do anything during the week and say, I got to go back to go and get refilled, recharged. But you've been refueling, recharging the whole week. So it takes work. Children's ministry takes work. That's why you say no to children's ministry. Right? Oh, let me think about it. And you're thinking about the kids there. How am I able to? Will I be able to take care of them? Right? Youth ministry takes work. So, the other day, one Sunday, I wrote to Andrew and say, Andrew, can you call the youth mentors and I'm going to do a magic on the youth ministry so you will just grow. I'm going to show you guys how to do youth ministry, right? So we had a meeting there, and I said to the youth leaders, what are you doing for the youth ministry that you're growing? What are you doing? Tell me. If you don't know, I'm going to show you. And they say, Pastor, okay, show me what you do. This is what you do. You just swipe to the right, right? Like you do. Swipe to the right, take some pictures, post on the Snapchat, put some pictures on Instagram, and update on Facebook. Boom! Youth ministry. And they look at me like I'm from a different planet, right? Youth ministry, the word laziness doesn't go with youth ministry. Youth ministers doesn't have time to be lazy. They are preparing for different events. They are preparing for classes. They have their day job. They're visiting the youth at their homes or chatting with them, trying to troubleshoot the day. The Bible talks about look at the ants. They're always busy. The youth ministers, youth leaders are like that. They're always busy. We don't give them credit enough. We don't listen to them enough. They're the second parents to your children. Did you know that? They are second parents to your children. Sometimes they do all the dirty work for you. Sometimes you send them, hey, fix them. And if something is wrong, we criticize them. We are hard on them. They don't hear enough good things, encouraging words and support from us. So I told the youth leaders and mentors, hey, I apologize for not listening to you guys enough. I told our youth director, I apologize that we don't give you enough support. It is easy to criticize, not knowing what people do. I want you to say thank you to the youth mentors and youth leaders, not just once in a year. Because they are also in the harvest. They are also the laborers that God has sent us. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Did it say like that in the Bible? The Son of Man just came to seek. No, he didn't come to sit. He came to seek that which was lost. And this is what they are doing. And I want you to hear from, not from me, but I want you to hear what God is doing in people's life. I'm going to call up one of the leader that went to the youth camp, Max. And you're going to hear how he encountered God. What's God doing with him for a greater harvest? And he's going to set up what the youth are going to say as part of our sermon today. So pay attention to how God is moving and shaping their heart.
Hello. My name is Max Irving. I'm one of the youth mentors in the youth ministry. I had the opportunity and privilege to go with the youth this past weekend down to winter camp, and the youth and the mentors had a really great opportunity to come closer to God, but also bond together as a group. And so when we went to Sugar Pine winter camp, every day we had two different worships where we had an opportunity to learn about a theme of the day. And through those themes of the days, we were also able to meet as in small groups, as I was with the junior hires. And we were able to talk about those themes of the day and how they resonated with us. And it gave us an opportunity to dive deep into those themes. And it actually really impacted me as much as it did of the youth. The weekend gave me an opportunity to reflect, to learn, and to become closer to God. I had a guest speaker named Ron Nelson, who was with the athletes congregation, and he talked about many themes, and the two that really resonated with me was love thy neighbor and forgiveness. And love thy neighbor is really important to me because I'm always trying to give back to my community and give back to others because it is really important to me. But forgiveness is one of the hardest things for me and for some of our youth because we, you know, me especially, have had many things that have impacted my life, and I've constantly held in not forgiving others for what they have done. And being able to learn that and to give forgiveness was really inspirational for me. And when we were sitting down after every worship with the junior hires, it really opened my eyes to what God, the Bible, and Jesus were trying to teach us and how he's trying to help us. And it has, the experience of this past weekend has brought me closer to God, and the belief that I'm here and called upon to be a youth mentor with the youth ministry. So
awesome. Yes. Awesome. And here's what God did to the youth at the youth camp.
One thing that I learned from winter camp is that I need God more in my life than I actually might think. Because going there kind of taught me and everyone else that, you know, God is here and he is here to help and he offers help all the time. And I can tell that we all learned together as a church that we need God in our lives more than we might think and more than we're actually thinking.
He said that he's always here for me and that I need to forgive other people like he forgave me for my sins.
So, at camp, the speaker talked a lot about who's close to us and who we see in our everyday lives and how we can show them that Jesus loves them and how we can bring Jesus to them. So, after his speaking, I began to think and I began to reevaluate a lot of the relationships I had. And after all that thinking, I decided that with a lot of my friends and people close to me that I can show them how God loves them by treating them with respect and love that they deserved. And as a result of that, hopefully, they can feel God's love.
At Snow Camp, we learned about forgiveness. And this is a subject I've learned about many times, but up at Snow Camp, it finally hit me. God forgives us and he expects us to do the same to others. And I've heard this parable many times, but it finally stuck with me that the servant who owed his master so much money was forgiven, but he himself did not forgive, so his master punished him for it. And God is like that. If we don't forgive others, how can he forgive us? And out of Snow Camp, I really took that to heart, and I'm going to try my best to not hold any more grudges and just live life to the fullest.
I enjoyed being with my friends and being with the church during some winter camp.
Okay, so one thing I learned during Snow Camp was that as we went through the days, like every night we would read a Bible verse, and then I realized that I would have to read my Bible more, because we talked about how it kind of brought us closer to God, and we also went over how we should pray and read the Bible every night.
My favorite thing about winter camp was the chapel, and some of the songs were really fun to dance to. And when we played on the last night, when we had the games, it was really fun just having a good experience with everyone, and becoming closer to God was really fun too.
Something that really stood out to me during winter camp was one of the nights he talked about forgiving people, and we had a discussion about it in the camp, or in the cabin, and a lot of people told stuff about how they wanted to forgive people for things that they did in the past, and even though I didn't share anything, I thought about it in my head, and it just really, like, meant a lot to hear everybody be so open about it, and, like, I feel like I got closer to them, and also closer to God, knowing that He would, like, help us forgive that we wanted to forgive.
What I learned at snow camp was to be, have courage to do the right thing in everything that you do. Maybe it's harder for me to speak to other people about Christ, but when I went there, I learned that being able to speak about Christ isn't that hard.
Something that I learned when I was at snow camp is forgiveness, and even though someone does something bad, you can always forgive them because it's always the right thing to do.
I learned that God wants you to forgive people, so I'm starting to forgive more people in my life because I know that's what He would want me to do.
So one of the common themes that I picked up from the messages, one is forgiveness. The other one is also inviting other people. And how to do that is through prayer and reading the Word of God. And the sermon ties into this for greater harvest. In order to have a greater harvest, there has to be an invitation. Salvation needs an invitation. And then salvation needs forgiveness. These are two very important things that the youth have shared in their testimony. Because when you read in Luke 19, see, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and he was rich. See, Luke makes sure that he will end up with the word "and he was rich." This guy was a rich man. He was a tax collector. In those days, if you read the historical accounts, there is no definitive proof on what was the exact percentages of taxes, okay, in the Roman time. But there is a wealth tax of 5%. People will start giving tax by lowest 1%. But the general consensus is that the Roman tax was between 1 to 5, or more like 4% tax. So at that time, the Romans are not collecting the taxes by themselves. They appoint people to collect the tax, and Zacchaeus is one of them. In the area of Jericho, of the Roman territory where the Romans ruled. So when you read and make research, that the tax collectors were collecting up to, you know how much? Even 30%. Okay, 30%. So, okay, 5% wealth tax. Let's say they're collecting 4% even from the common people. Let's keep it at 5 to do a more mathematical, easier for me, right? If they do 20, they're pocketing 15% for themselves, right? Now, the Jewish people, they're not just paying tax to the Romans. So let's say they're paying about 15%. Above that, they have to pay the temple tax. The Romans are paid with coins. The temple tax is in a Jewish shekel, half a shekel. Okay? So you add the half a shekel to the tax plus the 10% tithe. You're getting the point now, right? So it's not just if you're taking 20% to the extreme, add the 10%, that makes it 30, half a shekel. That is a lot. That's a lot on the people. That's the reason why they hate tax collectors. Zacchaeus was one of them. He was very rich. He was the chief collector. And when Jesus came, he has heard the word about Jesus. See? So he wanted to see him. But he was short. The Bible says he was short. These short people are, you know, you got to watch out for them. They're dangerous. Yeah. But this guy is short and smart. So he ran. He sought. He wanted to look at him. Since he was short, he had to climb a sycamore tree. Now, the rider, Luke, had to put in even the tree. Why does he have to name the tree? I asked about that. Now, sycamore tree has a fruit. In those days, the fruit were for poor people. Right? The fruit were eaten by poor people. Because easily available for them to eat that. They don't have enough money to buy food. It would be like their supplements, I guess. But this rich man, so rich, is taking shelter where? On a poor man's plant, on a poor man's tree. It's speaking about his condition, that he may have all the money, but this guy is a poor, pitiful guy. And he's taking shelter in a poor man's tree. Like any ordinary man, this rich guy is now climbing a sycamore tree to see who Jesus was. He has heard so much about him. Where do you take your shelter today? You may be the richest guy in our church, in this valley. But where are you taking shelter? Is your life rich? Or are you also like Zacchaeus? Running along the street. Because there are multitudes, crowds gathered, and he's short and he can't see. He has to climb up to see. Where are you today? Are you taking comfort in your money? Are you taking comfort in your earnings? Or is the Lord asking you to do something bigger with the wealth that he has given you? I want to invite you to that place. Because Zacchaeus, now when Jesus came, this is a sycamore tree. See, the low branches, it's not tall. Fruits hang on the low, it's easy to climb, even for short people. So when he came to that place, there are crowds gathered there. Jesus is walking, looking at all of them. But when he came to that place, the word of God says, right, in Luke, he looked up. And I wonder, why would Jesus look up the tree? Why didn't he just go away? I mean, there are thousands of people there. Why would he look up? Because he came to seek and save that which was lost. And this guy's lost, and he's up there. And Jesus looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. He said, today? Say what? Right? This guy's up there on the tree. Today? Now? And Jesus said, why not? If Jesus were, let's say, if somebody popular come to the city, you know, you would want to invite him to your house, isn't it? Let's say, like our president came to your house and you would invite him to your house, right? No bite? Oops. Wrong example for you guys, I guess. Okay, let's erase that. Rewind, go back, right? Let's rewind. So Jesus is so popular. Everybody knows about him, heard about him. So when he came, I mean, people would have wanted to invite him to his or her house, right? And say, hey, Jesus, come to my house. I don't know what they were talking to him at that time. But this Zacchaeus that was hated by everybody, maybe some didn't hate him, but let's say almost everyone hated him. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to come to your house. And he's like, what? You want to come to my house today? You know, yes, I have to come to your house. Because he came to seek and save the lost. And people were murmuring. And say, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. People are murmuring. It started as a murmur, like a bee. When a bee comes, can you hear the murmur? Right? Murmur in the crowd, and it become loud. It was like a protest. Zacchaeus heard the murmur. Zacchaeus heard the murmur and the loud notice. And this is so beautiful for me. He vowed right there in front of them, said, I will give fourfold of what I have to the poor. Fourfold of what I have, I'm going to give it to the poor. And then, if I have collected taxes wrongly from you guys, right? He's going to return those things. There is forgiveness. There is repentance. It started with an invitation. What was the invitation? Jesus knocked on the door of Zacchaeus. He said, I want to come in. Zacchaeus could have refused that knock and say, no, Jesus, not today. I got nowhere to hide my money. Not today. I got to clean that up first. Right? It's everywhere. It's under the bed. And, you know, I got to clean that up and then you come. No, he was willing. He received the knock and invited Jesus. Salvation needs invitation. Invitation. It needs invitation. And when there is an invitation extended, then the person can receive or reject. The one who receives vows to ask forgiveness from God. Make a confession to the people that I'm a sinner. I've wronged. That's what he did. In front of all the people. And I used to think, oh, wow. You know, 4 times more of 5 would be, you know, if you add 4 times more, 20, like, okay. So maybe if he collected, if the tax was 5% and he collected 25%, he's giving back the 20% that was wrongly collected. He was making things right. He was making things right. And the word of God says, he received gladly Jesus in his house. There was joy. He received gladly. So he said, I come today. No, what? Jesus said, yes, why not? You know, because today salvation has come to your house. Salvation has come to your house. Salvation is visible. Do you know that? Salvation is visible, as visible as Jesus walking into the house of Zacchaeus. You can see salvation come. Is salvation knocking at your door today? Is salvation knocking at your friend's door today? At the person you've been praying for? All he or she might be waiting for is an invitation. Have you invited anyone to the kingdom of God? When was the last time you invited somebody to the kingdom of God? For the Son of Man has come to seek, to save that which was lost. I had a young man come in this week. He worships Odin. He gives gifts to Odin. He sacrificed Odin. He decided to throw his necklace away. He was part of the gap group that my wife lead. So he threw it away and he said, I'm feeling just so uneasy. I feel like somebody's breathing down on me. I can't sleep. You know, I feel like somebody just walking in my room. And he came on Wednesday and I opened the Bible from John. I opened the Bible from Romans, that if you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, confess with your mouth that you will be saved. John 1, he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, God gives him the right to be the child of God. If we confess our sins, God is faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Say, you know, you have the right to be the child of God and the enemy will not disturb you. They may tempt and persecute you, but, you know, and have you ever done that? He said, no, I want to do it. He prayed. He prayed in his own prayer and said, God, I want to follow God. I don't want to worship Odin anymore. Prayed his prayer and if timing works out, he's going to get baptized this coming Sunday. I was sitting with an engineer friend there in our parking lot. Shut down the car, taking in the heat from the sun, put the engine off. I look at him and say, I think you're there. He looked at me and said, yeah, I think I'm there. He grew up as an agnostic kid. Parents never went to church. It's the love of his wife and other people that have prayed for him for many years. He suddenly realized that he's there to make Jesus as his Savior. He came to my office. It was raining. We were going to go out for lunch, but it was raining, soggy, we stayed. They say, hey, how about baptism? I'm waiting for a miracle, something like zam, zoom, bing, bam in my heart so I can do baptism. I look at him and said, there will be no greater miracle ever than your salvation. You will never have a greater miracle happen in your life than the salvation that you have had. I can see tears coming down his eyes. I say, you ready to get baptized? He said, yeah, I'm ready. You know, I have my pastor have a dance for salvation. So I'm just sitting there and be like, you ready? He's like, yeah, whoa! And I'll just slap him and just walk around a little and say, you're ready? You know, that's like my joy celebration. And he would look at me like I'm crazy. You know, I'm so happy. He's going to get baptized this coming Sunday. These are big guys. My concern is, how am I going to get baptized then? I mean, they're really big guy, you know? But the easiest way to go to heaven, if something happened, will be right there. Thank you for praying for 31 days for a greater harvest to save and seek the lost. You're on it, brothers and sisters. I'm proud of this church and this worship team that's going to come up and lead us in worship. And just remember Luke 19. If God can save a man like Zacchaeus that is hated by everybody, God's love is big to encompass everyone. And if God touches you and you have so much money that you don't know what to do, give it to the poor. Help the poor. Make a difference in their life. Support their education. Education of their kids. You're investing in the future of this nation. Not I but Christ. Not mine but His. It's the strength alone of God that I live. Let us sing this song and praise and worship Him.